So, tomorrow, or yesterday, or whenever, opening day.
Today,
right now, as we speak. Actually, this will post tomorrow.
Existentially, tomorrow. So isn't every day opening day?
Every day. Every day that you open your eyes is opening day.
You should make every day opening day. Thank you for joining us. This is Jed Rigney for Opening Day Ventures. I'm here to bring you a special message about bringing light into your life through the joy of baseball and a positive attitude.
Wow, I'm fired up.
Heck yeah, you are.
I want to go and tackle the world. I'm a winner.
You're going to hit a home run today, John.
Touch
it all starts with my simple pyramid scheme. I get money from you. You get money from other people, and they give me money as well. Those people then go out and get money from other people, and then they all funnel it back through to me. I wind up making a great deal of money if I can avoid getting arrested for fraud.
Wow.
I'm excited about opening day, man.
I am. The best thing about this to me, opening day, and I won't be able to go to a game. This is the first time in a long time that I'm not going to an opening day baseball game. I miss that walking onto the field for the very first time.
Yeah.
You walk through the tunnel and you get onto the field and you just see the green grass, the brown dirt, all the bunting around the stadium.
Is this a Ned Yost stadium? Oh, the other bunting. The celebratory bunting.
Yeah,
okay.
And then the opening day logo sprayed on the field and some crazy thing mowed into the grass in the outfield. You know, it's just there's an energy there. Full house, usually, flyovers. You know the Mariners always used to have the red carpet and season ticket holders lining the red carpet as they announced the players on the roster for the first game. Just as always, just something fun.
Hot dogs, beer, acid reflux,
all the
things.
Right, bloating. Yeah, it's all good.
But you're down in Mexico now, and they don't have MLB opening day there.
Deal. No, it's not. Yeah. But I will be watching. I've got
Dia de los opening? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dia?
Open. I don't know.
I can barely make my way through a little bit of Spanish. Just enough to get out of fights at public school when I was growing up in Los Angeles.
Now we've done okay. I wouldn't say we're studying, but we're learning through trial and error. And it's
but in Spanish, it's not okay. It's okay.
It's always funny too because you'll hear people in conversation speaking Spanish and they'll throw out an English word.
Right.
You know, it's just part of it. And that's not like they're... And I've seen a couple of people having conversations going back and forth between English and Spanish. It's like,
what?
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So this is a baseball podcast.
Let's do it.
Foul Territory, episode 98. We're getting close.
Whoa.
Next, it's almost to the end of the line. And there actually was only one player to ever wear number 98, and I have never heard of him. Onelki Garcia.
That's a great first name.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know if it's right. There's no... usually Baseball Reference has a pronunciation guide, and there isn't one for this one. Onelki Garcia pitched with the Royals
Of course he did.
2013.
All right. Onelki. Yeah. You sure that's not spelled backwards?
No, it's from... He's from Cuba, so he's a... I would assume a Cuban...
Good swimmer.
Refugee, yes. So, we're at the end of the line. We're the Wayne Gretzky episode coming up, or the Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. Let's stick to baseball while we can.
Okay.
We got the Aaron Judge, and then we got the Ottavino, right?
Right.
We're going to go double Yankees at the end, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do for...
After that. 101. Yeah, we'll make something up. Yeah. So I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And let's talk some baseball.
Let's do it.
There's a ton of different news, but I'm going to start with the craziest news of all.
Okay.
So for the entire hot stove season, we're hearing players bitching and moaning and crying about how there's no money in baseball and players aren't getting paid. And then in a matter of a week, it's like somebody pulled up with a truck and just dumped all the money in, that's ever been saved up in a vault anywhere in the world and said, let's pay everybody.
Over $1 billion was paid out.
Crazy.
But here's the funniest part to me is there are still writers and pundits who have the opinion that the players are getting screwed by these extensions and that they're only taking them because of how bad the free agent market was, to which I say, what? I would love to be screwed by $100 million. As a matter of fact, let me detail to you all the ways in which and all the orifices into which $100 million could fit. The players are getting screwed. This is guaranteed money forever. It's signed and you get $100 million if you become a bad player, Chris Davis, if you get injured, if you, Jacoby Ellsbury all over everything, guess what? As bad as Jacoby is, he's rolling around in giant piles of cash.
Right. Yeah, I don't get that. I really don't get that because the economic model has been broken for a long, long time that we're paying people in their 30s when their prime years end when they're 31, 32. So why are we giving people, 8 years worth of ridiculous money when they're not going to be productive? I love what's happened in the last 2 weeks. It's awesome. So we're seeing 20-year-old players making boatloads of money for 20-year-old players.
Let's run it down here. Mike Trout, $400 million plus over 12 years.
Amazing.
430, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's
probably
good,
like it's probably a value per year, but the fact again that like if he blows out his knee for a season and plays no games, he'll still receive that whatever $38 million.
Right.
Pretty good deal for the player there.
Right.
Alex Bregman, $100 million. Chris Sale, $150 million. Goldschmidt, $130 million. Snell was what? 70? Was that what his was? I don't even remember. Verlander, 2 years, $66
million. That's crazy. It's crazy.
DeGrom got his average annual value after for his free agent years. By the way, he's a 30-year-old pitcher, by the way. Something like $35 million a year. Even Kyle Hendricks getting into the act.
He could be the ace of the Cubs staff this year.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
No.
You Darvish, what happened to your slider?
Right. And then you have the Eloy Jimenez.
Well, this is the best news of all from yours and my perspective, I think. Is
The kids.
Pay the 20-year-old kid. Pay him.
Yep.
Everyone knows he's going to be great. Give him. His is like guaranteed 45 and then up to 75 or 80 or something like that. What? That's fine. That's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's like when Yelich signed his 7-year, $49 million deal. People are like, this guy hasn't proven anything yet.
Right.
But he's definitely proven it now, and he's going to get a big payday. But he for a 22-year-old kid, that's good money.
That's great.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think I would love to see this trend continue. And there's dozens of players who are in their late teens, early 20s, who are going to be playing within the next 2 years.
Yeah. League keeps getting younger. Good. Let's fix it. Let's pay
them money. But what's going to happen is that I think owners are going to finally realize that there's more value in getting them when they're young versus paying them when they're old. And we're going to start to see a flip going on over the next, I would say over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see a big change. And as long as the players are coming, prepared to play, and it's amazing that we have, half a dozen 21 and younger players who could potentially be competing for Cy Youngs and MVPs this season.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love it.
If you look at like the top 50 players in fantasy baseball, it's a surprising number of players are under 25. It's really it's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I think we're going to see what will make it even more exciting is that they start paying these players money. Then there's going to be more of an emphasis on the draft, and you're not going to see the Major League Baseball draft in a studio in New Jersey. it's going to become a bigger thing. You know, it's just not a media thing right now. But when we
what
start,
do you mean? Media Hub Secaucus, New Jersey is not?
No.
What? Wow, what an elitist. But yeah, guy goes to Mexico and starts a marijuana field, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, Secaucus is beneath me.
All three of the other leagues have drafts at stadiums.
But can we also say how great a word Secaucus is?
It is. It is very good.
I remember I went to Secaucus once, and I couldn't, I was, as an adult, I could not stop laughing. I was in a ride share with some other people. We were on some concert tour or something, and I was doing some whatever, no one cares. And we were going to Secaucus. I giggled the whole way there.
The good old days.
But the giggling's over, John. People are going to take the draft seriously.
Right.
I love it. I mean, you know, the young players are where it's at now, and I think it's a big part of fandom, and I think it's a big part of building fans for the future, because, again, sure, this is one of the problems with baseball. Is like the hot, great players are all in their late 20s, or used to be, and the hot, great players in the NFL and in basketball are in their early 20s, and right, younger players connect with people closer to their age. So now you're going to get Eloy Jimenez and Ronald Acuna and Juan Soto out there. Man, this is exactly what we're talking about.
And Victor Robles and Vladimir
Guerrero.
Tatis. Got them all, man. They're all coming.
Yeah. Chris Paddock. Yep. He's getting to go there. The Padres not messing around. They're bringing up
Fernando
Tatis for the opening day. They got Chris Paddock opening day. They're like, they're not messing around with this, the time, shifting the time, the service time issues and all that stuff. Like, just bring them up. Let's sort it out later. We'll sort it. If 6 years from now we wind up spending an extra $10 million, so be it.
Right, right. It's like, let's see what they got. If they wait, you know, say the Padres wait and they don't bring up a couple of these players and they start out the first month, they're, let's say, 10 and 15. And they could have been 15 and 10, maybe.
Right.
Why not? Why not see, you know, because there's a lot of momentum that has to happen in the beginning of the year, especially for the team. And there's teams that are going to be out of it. The Marlins and the Orioles will be out of it by the end of April.
John, they are already out of it. They are already mathematically eliminated. Though I will say the Marlins with a couple of sexy time pitchers already.
They're looking pretty good.
Pablo Lopez? Have you seen this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Throwing gas.
Yeah, I
striking
think
out
a,
people this
fan,
spring training.
I know the fans always latch on to star players, but I look at potential and I love the team that they had 10 years ago because it had in their minor league system, they had Yelich and they had Stanton in their system. And it was like, these are going to be great players, and Ozuna. And they did.
Right.
They matured into great players. Unfortunately, they're doing well on other teams and didn't stay with the team. But you
those
know,
were good players
that
they developed.
Yeah, they got rid of a lot of good players.
So what would the infield be? It would be Realmuto, Boer, Yelich, and then outfield, Yelich.
Yelich, Ozuna, and Stanton.
Ozuna, Stanton.
That's an amazing outfield.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what they should have done? They should have got the people of Miami to also pay for the salaries. In addition to buying a new stadium for them.
Right.
That's probably the better thing to do.
Well, maybe the next ownership group can look into that. We'll see what happens. At least I like their new uniform, so got that going for us.
Okay. Did you like them compared to now or compared to what they were?
I like the new uniforms compared to what they were. I mean, I still like the old ones, but the teal and black, that was...
No, but I mean, like, do you like them compared to, like, other teams' uniforms, or do you like them compared to how theirs used to be and
no,
what a relief?
I like it compared to other teams. I like it much better than what they had. They had softball
jerseys. And you're okay with the Marlin having sex with yes. with them? All
humping
right.
The M. Yeah, it's good.
All right. I mean, Shape of Water did win the Oscar, so...
I don't know if it was big in Miami, though. Maybe yeah,
well, you know it's going to be. They're just going to be showing it at the seventh inning stretch now.
Right. I haven't seen the stadium now without that monstrosity. I know they turned that into a like a fan deck and bar and standing room only area. So that the home run structure is gone.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing. I'll be watching that game tomorrow. I don't know if it's at home, though. But I'll check it out.
Well, you can still watch them, though.
I will. I'll be flipping around. I'll be watching. Okay. I will probably watch almost at least bits and pieces of every game tomorrow.
Great.
Excited. I'm actually like my trembling a little bit.
Oh.
Talk me down.
Oh.
So let's talk about, well, you know, here we are talking about opening day, but baseball started a week and a half ago.
Well, yes. Technically. We're talking about American opening day, not this weird Japanese thing where they go back in time and then a week ago there was two games and they totally count.
We already have statistics in fantasy baseball as a result.
I will say I may have manipulated some of those statistics in our fantasy baseball league to my advantage.
How'd you do that?
Well, I got players that I knew had good statistics from those games.
Mm.
It's not a lot, like whatever, but it's just a little bit, you know?
A little bit helps.
Yeah, a little bit. Every little bit helps.
And if you win a category by one run or home run or percentage point, you can say, great strategy.
Yeah. Smart guy.
Smart guy. There's a tip for all you youngsters out there.
That's right. Be obsessed with numbers for your whole life, and it can reward you with fantasy baseball excellence.
So Ichiro was the big news. And boy,
he retired again.
Again.
First time he left in the middle of the first game, it was nice. Second time, it was a magical movie moment.
Yeah, what an amazing outpouring.
Really quite,
people were crying.
Yeah.
Did you see the one of the players on the Mariners?
Kikuchi.
Was it that? He was in. Yeah. He was bawling.
That's like his hero.
Yeah.
Like he grew up idolizing this guy, and then hey, I'm on this guy's team. Oh, and by the way, I get to play a game with him. His last game
in Japan.
In Japan.
And it was funny because Ichiro just kind of like kid, stop crying, and rubbed him on the head. Like, go away. Stop crying. It's all good.
Well, he was like, don't you start crying because then I'm going to start crying.
Right.
We're all going to start crying.
Awesome moment. Some of the photos and the video that they captured of that moment are always great. Always great stuff. So Gio Gonzalez finally signs.
Minor league deal with the Yankees.
And he will most likely play because of the injury to Severino, which moves Paxton up to the number one spot.
Yes. Yes, that's true. The thing is, like, do you know Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell still haven't signed?
Yeah. Well, I guess the question there is, like, especially with Keuchel, is what's wrong with him? Is his, you know,
oh, you mean like, what's wrong with you? Or do you mean like, do people think there's something physically wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't think they think it's physical. It's just kind of like in the power pitcher game, he's not a power pitcher.
I mean, it is sexy time now to have power pitchers, and it is not sexy time to have pitch to contact ground ball guys.
Right. But he'll get signed this. I mean, within a week, someone will be hurt.
I mean, this guy is like every free agent's nightmare, right? Like this is like Steven Drew. Remember from him from whatever it was 5 years ago where the Red Sox gave him the qualifying offer. He turned it down and no one would sign him. And he wound up signing with the Red Sox for
a pittance.
$4 million or something. And which it was still like way more than they should have paid him. And then I think they traded him to the Yankees. You know what? You're gambling, right? You're out there, you're gambling. The agent's talking to people, thinks he's got a bead on everything. And then it's a musical chairs thing. Sometimes you're just like, oh, wait a minute. There's nowhere left for me to go. But Craig Kimbrell's like a great pitcher.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. No.
People keep saying like, oh, you saw how he did in the playoffs last year. Like, okay.
I think it's his demand for $100 million.
I mean, I think it's a combination of things, right? Or it's a complication of things.
Yeah, most likely.
Whatever.
But he's ready.
I'm not used to the West Coast time still. I'm still dealing with getting up way too early. It's a complication of things.
Right. But he'll be signed within a week or two.
I thought for sure when Knebel started having his elbow problems, it was like, okay, so then
the Brewers are going to sign him to a one-year ridiculous money deal.
Yeah, give him 20, right? 20 for a year? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, like, even if he signs now, when's he ready? 2 weeks? Well, 3 weeks?
There was
or is he
going to
Greg Holland
was,
it? Remember, Greg Holland signed with the Cardinals last year
and
was terrible. But later in the year, he wound up signing with the Nationals and had sort of got
his shit together. Yeah,
got his feces together and was no longer throwing feces like some chimpanzee, and was actually throwing quality pitches. But however, he has now regressed and can't throw 90, and yet has been named the closer for the Diamondbacks.
And I love that Torrey Lovullo said that the reason why he was named was because of what he's done in the past.
Yeah, fair enough.
That he was a great closer at one point, even though the last 12 months weren't so good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that Archie Bradley steps into that role pronto.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, right? Because maybe they're doing like the smart sabermetrics thing of like, well, we want to keep Archie for the high leverage situation. So if it means like the seventh and eighth inning, we have Archie. And then the ninth inning against the bottom of the order, we bring in Greg Holland for the weirdly
dirty save.
Important save, you know, then like, yeah, maybe that's the way to go. But then I don't know. Are the Diamondbacks really being that clever? Or maybe they're just trying to stop Bradley from getting saved so his arbitration numbers are lower. I don't even know. Like, what if the Diamondbacks just lay out like a giant turd this season? Like, they just drop a big turd on Chase Field or whatever they call that now, because Goldschmidt's gone, and it seems like maybe Pollock's they could have re-signed him.
Yeah. Yeah, because that money wasn't huge.
That wasn't
sick
that
money.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But maybe for them it was. Like, first base is a weird position in Major League Baseball right now. It's weird to give a ton of money to that position.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see.
We shall.
If there's going to be a big giant turd at Chase Field in the humidor.
Could be. That's right. It's going to be a much more moist turd. Sorry. Opening day excitement, people.
So the other rookie that made the opening day roster was Peter Alonso with the Mets.
Right. Though we should mention his name is now Pete.
Oh, he dropped the R at the end?
He has requested that he be called Pete Alonso. Okay.
That's no good. Pedro?
Maybe he just doesn't want people to think it's Pete Republican. That's a stupid joke. Sorry. Because he's got an R on the end.
Got it.
I don't know. Look, I'm fading out. Let's
keep going.
On. What
else
is there?
We got Corey Knebel, elbow injury.
Yeah. It's Knebel, but yeah, Knebel.
What did I say?
Knebel.
I said Knebel?
Yeah.
It's Knebel.
It's Knebel.
Yeah.
You were saying it right earlier. That's fine. Yeah, he's got some elbow problems. Maybe needs Tommy John. Maybe doesn't. Maybe it's just a partial tear, which
and
he
Jeffress
sort of already
hurt too.
Has. Jeffress is hurt. So, go get Craig Kimbrel.
Right, they have to.
Win
because
games.
Hader, now everything's on him.
There is no margin for error in this thing.
No.
This NL Central.
No, I mean, it's super competitive. These guys have to be hitting the ground running early.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Like,
we'll see.
Could see all five of those teams be 500 or better.
Are you concerned at all about the Dodgers' pitching woes?
No. The reason why I'm not concerned is because they have, like, eight very good starting pitchers. So, yes, you want Kershaw in there. You want Bueller in there. You want Hill in there. But you know what? Bring in Stripling. Bring in Hyunjin Ryu.
They're all good. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Bueller was a little tweaked in spring training, but he is going to start, I think, on Sunday. So,
okay.
And I think Kershaw will be back before the end of the month. And really, maybe the extra rest will be good for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe by the time he gets to the playoffs, he won't be thinking it's the playoffs.
Right.
And so he won't have to be as terrible.
It's like it's mid-September. What's up?
Yeah, exactly. And just change all the calendars in the clubhouse, rewire his phone.
Put him in a closet in the clubhouse so he's not aware of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Good work.
Cut him off from, all Twitter and Facebook. Not a bad idea, by the way.
How's Corey Seager done in spring? He didn't play the first 3 weeks of spring training, did he?
That's right. He was like doing like baseball related activities, but not actually playing.
Chewing gum and
yes. Well, yeah, like scratching himself and you know, like the usual
hot
stuff.
Hot foots in the dugout.
Yeah.
That stuff. Sure.
Yeah.
So he's ready to go, right?
My understanding is that he is ready-ish. Like he's ready for opening day, but they won't be going at him hard.
Okay. So he might get a couple at bats and then take a day off once a week.
Exactly. I think they're going to make sure he gets the day off once a week.
Okay, that's cool. That'll work. So yeah. What was the adjustment that Fangraphs made to the war calculation for catchers?
Oh, this is super fascinating for us number nerds. Okay, so war is wins above replacement. And what they did was they have all these numbers on pitch framing by catchers, like who's able to get a slight edge on it, whether it's a ball or a strike. And there are some players who are very good at it, and some players are very bad at it. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they added into the equation of the pitcher and the value that the player adds from doing that and increased and decreased their wins above replacement accordingly. Mm-hmm. So you see...
Who benefited from that?
Well, you get guys like Yasmani Grandal, right? He's always been a good framer, so his wins above replacement for his career has gone up. Russell Martin, actually, his numbers went way up.
Wow.
Buster Posey went up. And you start talking about Buster Posey's numbers, and it's like, wow, you start thinking, well, if he could get six more years of
all-time
quality play, even at first base, he could sneak into the Hall of Fame. And then, of course, it lowered some pitchers had... Because the way they do wins above replacement for pitchers is they try to take out of the equation the batted ball, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because once the ball is hit into play, the pitcher doesn't actually have any control over it.
Right.
I mean, there's some argument that, like, well, if it's soft contact, that the pitcher tricked the hitter into doing soft contact, so they try to factor that stuff in. No one cares about this, John. This is opening day. Let's move on.
So, well, we're... You know, in the second half of our headline, so there's, you know, sexy stuff like Lenny Dykstra, we talked about a few weeks ago, being crazy Lenny, and they dropped some of his charges.
Yes. Basically, all those crazy things about him and, like, terroristic threats and all this crazy stuff, because he got into that little... Imbroglio, that the right word?
Yes.
Imbroglio with the Uber driver, and they just pared it down to, like, mild touchings and being uncouth or whatever the plea bargain was, and was basically time served and moved, sent on his way. So
I would watch the reality TV show with Lenny Dykstra and Jussie Smollett. That would be a good one. I think they should start that.
No, wait a minute. Guys up. Lenny Dykstra is involved in actual crimes. So what would happen? Lenny would do something, and then Jussie Smollett would like claim it was something else.
Right, yeah.
Claim that someone else did it. Claim that he said MAGA while it was happening.
Right. Fact or fiction?
Well, I don't ever want anyone to believe that being a celebrity helps someone get out of legal trouble, because that's simply not true, except for it being very true.
We'll talk about that later, but I haven't really followed it at all. Yeah. So I'm sure you'll fill me in.
Yeah.
So we did talk briefly about Severino being out.
Yeah.
For the first month.
Shoulder stuff. You don't know.
Yeah, it could be longer than that.
Let someone else pick him in your fantasy draft. If you still haven't done your fantasy draft, what are you doing? It's opening day. Right. But if you have, like, just let someone else pick him. Let someone else have that problem.
Your starts in 30 minutes, doesn't it?
No, it's more than that. It's like 50 minutes. We got plenty of time.
Good. Well, I'm just saying you should be excited. You got to draft.
Oh, I am excited. Part of this raw energy you're feeling is my opening day and baseball draft.
How many drafts or how many leagues are you in this year?
This year I am in 1, 2, 3, and then this is my fourth.
Okay.
So down two. I shaved two off.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just too many.
The missus must be happy.
Oh, she doesn't care.
She's like, well, keep yourself busy, Jed.
Yeah. She's going to be busy watching her Killing Eve on Hulu.
So you'll be
Sandra Oh,
and you'll have your headphones on. And I just did our draft the other night from two nights ago from Starbucks. You did that last year, didn't you?
I did that last year, but I was under very stressful circumstances because I didn't have my computer plugged in. The battery was low. I also got there late because of where I was going. It was just so silly. And to be honest with you, John, it affected the performance in that draft, and I regret it because it meant I only won the division by 10
on the last
points.
Day.
Yeah.
Or not the last day, the last two or three days.
The last week, it was really, it turned very quickly in my favor. So,
see, everybody, things can change.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't give up.
That's right, Marlins fans. Just kidding.
Let's see. What else we got? Royals are doing something to try to get fans to go to games.
While they're tanking,
and they're basically tanking on game one, opening day.
That's right.
Officially in the tanking mode. With Sal Perez out, they're fully tanked.
Yeah.
They're going to be offering reduced prices on hot dogs, other concession items, and beer.
That's right. So everyone can get drunk while Ned Yost manages his last year with Alberto Mondesi, Whit Merrifield, and Billy Hamilton trying to set the team stolen base record.
Mm-hmm. That's all they'll have going for them.
But what they're really stealing is the fans' money.
They should be paying them to go to the games, right?
They won a World Series. Who cares? They can do whatever they want.
The fans, I'm sure they're like, hey, still fresh.
The good news is they have almost no good prospects in the minor leagues.
Oh, well, that's something to be happy about. And nobody to trade to restock the coffers.
Basically,
Their biggest trade chip is shelved for a year.
It is a rough situation that team has.
So Jeff Samardzija threw out some unbelievable wisdom.
Yes.
For Major League Baseball to consider. Basically, just let's do the hockey thing. We'll have ties.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Normally, I would just say a player suggested this, but this is such a terrible idea that I feel like we really need to put a name to it. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. No extra innings, going with ties.
That's part of what makes baseball so exciting.
It's part of what makes it better than all the other sports.
Right.
You can't end on a tie.
The best thing.
Do you remember that playoff game?
Oh, it was the best. The Rangers.
The Dodgers Red Sox game last year.
Oh, that.
World Series. You don't even remember that, do you? You were in Mexico, high as a balloon, overlooking your fields of marijuana. That's when, and you were a San Jacinto or whatever, Verde de
which game,
de Agua
which game
or whatever.
Extra innings?
This is the one where Nate Eovaldi said, you know what, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be the relief pitcher tonight. And he just banged out.
Five, six innings.
Boom. Yeah. Saved the bullpen. Dodgers won. Great game. And the Red Sox won the World Series.
I was thinking of the Rangers. The World Series. Who did they play?
Holy crap. That's right. The Rangers went to the World Series twice.
Right. 2 years in a row. And that one, the game that you missed.
Oh, right.
The dog excrement issue.
Because I was screaming at one of my neighbors.
Yeah. So
look, just tie the bag of dog poop. Tie it. Look, if you're throwing it into a dumpster, I don't care.
And Samardzija's a smart guy.
This was in a public place, like inside.
You know, the thing about it, too, is that if Samardzija was like a elite player, you might listen a little harder. But it's like, dude, you're making a boatload of money for mediocrity.
Yeah, but you know what? He just wants to go home to his boatload of money. That's all. He's just like, look, guys, I'm on a schedule.
My money's
all right. I got to cover myself in Vaseline and roll around on some hundies.
Well, that wraps up our headlines for the week. with that thought in your mind, everybody take that to bed tonight and have sweet dreams. Starting nine.
Yeah.
In honor of opening day in Japan.
That's right.
What do you got?
I got nine players with Japanese kaiju monster names.
Ooh. I can't wait.
Okay, ready? Here we go. With my name, I am a little bit cheating here, but let's go with Jedzilla Lowry.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
I mean, it's kind of a cheap one, right? Jedzilla, because everyone does, something Zilla, right? It's like, the Watergate thing of like something gate, mm-hmm. something gate. Oh, mm-hmm. this is some, this is a balloon gate. This is you know, barf gate.
Right.
But Zilla's a little bit like that, where they're like, it's like, oh yeah, it's like Rockzilla. I get it. Like, no, I don't get it. Anyway, next one, Mathra Kemp.
Very good.
Right, Mothra action. Mm-hmm. Carlos Rodan. That's the easiest one.
Oh, easy. Yeah, didn't have to do anything.
That's right. It's just a layup right there. What is it? Oh, okay, here we go. Jake King Ghidorizi.
Oh.
King Ghidorah.
Okay.
Is it Ghidorah? Is that what it is, Ghidorah? Yeah. Anyway, pause the podcast right there, ladies and gentlemen, and look up King Ghidorah. That is a freak. It's kind of like a lion-ish. Look, kind of like the lion from Wizard of Oz, but as a kaiju. Anyway, next thing. This isn't really Japanese, but they have used it in their films afterwards. It's an American thing. It's King Kong, but what about King Jung Ho Gong?
I like it.
All right, good. How about Kumangari Sanchez? Kumanga?
Mm-hmm.
Another freak. Another super freak. Josh Hedora?
Good.
You know, I'm saying this out loud. It's not quite as interesting as they, because you have to see them, right?
Yeah, like, you have to see them. That's the three-headed
thing. It'd be great
thing,
if it was
right?
like we were showing visuals of these things.
Right. That's the three-headed.
Once you work on that, you know what? Here, in post, just drop a bunch of visuals into the podcast.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, Destoroyah. Destoroyah or Molina?
Destoroyah
killed Godzilla's kid.
Yeah. You're way up on your Japanese monsters.
I mean, I know some of this stuff just because I think the whole kaiju thing is totally amazing. I used to watch those movies when I was
waiting for my favorite of all time. I haven't heard it yet.
Is it Nika Godzilla?
No.
Mecha Godzilla?
No, not Nika Godzilla. No. Are you almost done?
That's it.
Oh, Gamera. Remember Gamera? Like the turtle that used to spin around and fire?
Oh,
Gamera versus Monster X.
How did I miss that one?
Yeah, he was my I used to watch all of the Gamera ones. I love Gamera.
Yeah.
Going way back.
Wait, King Ghidorah is the three-headed one.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the other one. I think it's the Kumanga. I think Kumanga is the...
Well, I'm going to have to look these up.
Anyway, it's fun. Just look up, like, you know, Japanese kaiju monsters or whatever like that. So fun.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Get edumacated.
It's more fun than that segment.
Spend a few minutes. Redeem the segment. You'll connect with it. Yeah, so look them up. Review them. And then re-listen to that segment again. That'll help.
Yeah, and also my pronunciations will definitely help.
Yes. They'll be like, oh, okay, now I know what he's talking about.
All right.
Okay, around the horn time. And we have time for around the horn time.
Rare occasion that we do.
And we're going to go around and select what? I see you have
Who's going to win the division.
Okay.
And then why don't we do, I think we did this last year. Who's going to win all the divisions, and then we'll do wild cards and playoffs.
Okay. Can do that. NL East.
For the NL East, I am picking the Washington Nationals.
As am I.
I think it's going to be close.
I do. I mean, the wild card for me is the Mets. The Mets, if everybody stays healthy, if Nimmo and Conforto break out big time, if Cano has a Cano-ish like year, they could, in the pitching stays healthy. They got a dominant bullpen, a dominant starting rotation. They could make some noise.
Yeah.
And the Phillies, of course, everybody's, you know, favorite pick is the Phillies. But I think the Nationals, the pitching is locked up, the bullpen and starting, and they got the young kids. They're not going to miss Harper. I don't think they're going to miss him at all.
I think they'll miss him, but. You know, mainly because of the back rubs and the clubhouse and the
the hair flicks
and the karaoke parties, just that stuff.
Right. And he buys cookies too, right? I think they're going to miss the cookies in the clubhouse.
Oh, does he do that?
I don't know.
Well, he was the one that was going to get all the free donuts.
Right. He could have.
That, yeah, you know what? It's going to be one of those things where, like, out of revenge.
I get, you got to be thinking that donut shop's going like, you know what? It's a good thing. But they got their moment in the sun. I'm sure they got a lot of pub out of that, and sales kicked up for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, NL Central.
NL Central, that's a tough one. But I am going to say, is it weak to say the Cubs?
No.
I think the Cubs are the best mathematical team in that division.
If.
That's what I think.
Yeah, if they're pitching. That's their.
I mean, right? You look at that pitching staff, and it's like, man, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, dominant.
Monster.
Yeah.
This year is not 3 or 4 years ago, though. Hold on. Let me check my calendar just to make sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I think.
No. This year is not 3 or 4 years ago.
I think if the Brewers sign Kimbrel, the Brewers. Okay. That would be my pick in the Central.
I mean, I do feel like there's going to be three 90-win teams.
Yeah, that's going to be. And it's great 89. That we do have such strength in three divisions. Just like incredible cannibalizing each other strength in three divisions this year. In the East, NL East and Central and the AL East. It's going to be it's going to be fun.
Is the AL West?
It's getting there, I think.
It's not
maybe.
Quite that,
not
though,
quite
right?
There.
It's
the A's, everybody, like I think everybody's going to be like, oh, the A's are going to drop down to, you know, 500 club. I don't think so. I think they're going to be a good team. I don't think 97 wins, but I think they're going to win 90 plus.
But then what else is there? Rangers?
Rangers are up and coming. They have their reclamation pitching staff.
They have less pitching. Like, they might as well just put like a pitching machine out there and just say, you know what? How about we just spot you 10 and we'll try to get 11 off you?
There you go.
New rules.
We'll see. I think the
and the Mariners are going to be. I don't think the Mariners are going to be bad. I think they're going to be like 78, 79, 80. They're going to be in there.
So let's finish out the NL.
Yeah.
NL West.
Oh, are we on the?
Yeah.
NL West.
We're going all over the place here.
Okay, so Dodgers are winning this. Again, if I thought that the problem with the Rockies though, right? Like, they can't really trade for anything mid-season because A, they're just not good at player evaluation, and also you just don't know who's going to be good going from a non-Rocky team to the Rocky team.
Mm-hmm. Especially pitching.
But why didn't they trade for Realmuto? Right. I still don't understand.
You're going to bring that up.
Like, it bothers me so much. Like, I'm looking at their just backlog of like players are just stacked up, and it's like, well, we don't know what to do with Ryan McMahon and Ryan Maltapia and Ian Desmond and Garrett Hampson. We just don't know what to do. Oh, right. And Pat Valeka might have to get cut. Well, why didn't you just trade two of those for a catcher that actually isn't trash?
McMahon was raking, though.
Every episode we talk about the Rockies, I'm going to mention this lack of a trade. Or go get Wilson Ramos, man.
Yeah, I think they're a wild card team.
Or stick it up the Dodgers' butt and go get Yasmani Grandal, you know?
So are you buying into the, you know, the long shot pick of the Padres at all?
No.
2 years
that's embarrassing.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could kind of start to put stuff together for next year. Like, you could kind of see the pieces.
They could be a 500 team this year, though.
Yeah, more like that Mariners, you know, 78, you know, a couple of maybe 80, I mean, maybe. They still have, like, they have such a problem in their outfield. They have, four corner outfielders.
They have outfielders right now.
They have three corner outfielders and one corner infielder playing the outfield. And a center fielder who's not very good at hitting at all, who is kind of good at center field but not great. I'm like, what do you do with that? Here's what you do. You trade it to the Indians. You make some magic happen, people.
Right. You could see that if they're sniffing a wild card shot, they will make moves.
But didn't they sign Ian Kinsler too? What are they gonna do with that guy? Is he just like utility guy now? Sorry, Ian.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's got Hosmer at first, Luis is it Urias? Luis Urias at second. Tatis at short, Machado at third. Machado signing is a great signing, but then the outfield is just like Renfro, and I don't know. Not into it.
AL East.
Okay, well, I have to say the Red Sox. I have to say the Red Sox. So first of all, they're just the best offense in baseball. So, and I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to, I think he figured something out halfway through last season. We saw it in the playoffs. His hard hit contact rate went up in the second half of last season. So for those of us who are following it, what he did in the playoffs wasn't that surprising, though, of course, it was glorious. But, you know, strong starting rotation, maybe the second or third best in the American League. Third best, especially with Severino, you know.
Right, that's a big hit for the
not Yankees. Up to speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the bullpen wasn't great last year, though I will say it was better. This is going to be a real adventure.
It is.
Last time the Red Sox had a bullpen like this, I think they ruined Daniel Bard's career.
I remember that. That was back in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, he had done well as a closer in the minors, and they brought him up, and I think he was good as a closer or a long reliever, a late reliever, and they're like, oh, we're going to try to get him to be a starter.
Right, I remember
because
that.
Because there's more value in it, and it ruined him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... Well, I just suck sometimes.
I'm going Yankees. I just think they made enough additions.
To me, it's a coin flip. It's just like, it's so close. They're both great teams.
AL Central. Who cares?
I mean, Indians, but wow, what if they don't?
Yeah, I think the Twins have a shot. I really do.
Twins are the ones who should get Kimbrel.
Yeah, that would be, yeah. Who's the
IMO?
Mays? Is that Trevor May?
Yeah, Trevor May.
Yeah, May.
Some other guys. Hildenberger or whatever.
It'll be interesting to see if Rocco Baldelli can restore the Twins.
Yes.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's able to learn to be a manager while managing a major league team that has playoff hopes.
Yeah.
Good move.
Finally, AL West.
Okay, so Astros... And I don't think it's going to be close. I think this year they kind of let the A's get a little close and kind of.
I think they're 105-plus win team this year. Yeah. I think they're just going to eat up their own division.
Yeah,
the A's will be competitive, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So the Astros definitely benefit from Seattle, you know, basically tearing their team apart.
Yes, that definitely helps them. That definitely helps them.
So that's it. That wraps up the who we think is going to win. Who do you think is in the wild cards?
So wild cards, I'm going to go Rays in the American League, Rays and Yankees, though, you know, whatever. Or Red Sox if the Yankees win the division. I think it all comes from the American League East this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the article that we posted today. What my prediction was is that the Twins sweep the Red Sox in the last homestand of the season, mm-hmm. knocking them out of the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
I think the Red Sox are, if the bullpen, they have to do something with the bullpen. They
knocking the Red Sox out of the playoffs and ending our friendship, John. That's a big big call. That's a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction. You know, that's kind of, you know, you can make safe stuff, but I'd rather, you know, go with something. Because I think the Rays are going to be really good. I think the Twins have a chance. I think the A's are going to be really good. You got three teams that are going to be. So it's just a matter. I think whoever gets in is going to have to win 93, 94 games.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy. With so many tanking teams, the baseline is just so much higher now.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So who advances to the World Series?
Oh, who can know these things? Astros.
I think the Brewers and the Astros will be battling it out.
I think people would be into that.
Yeah, it would be a fun one.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
What are the other wild card teams you got in the National League?
National League wild card. I have there's a chance it could be the Phillies and the Mets. I think there could be the Rockies would be another outsider.
I got Phillies and what's it called? Brewers.
Brewers. Okay, because you have the Cubs winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one too. It's going to be good. I hope it's like last year. Last year was so exciting towards the end.
Yeah.
Last week of the season in the National League.
In the National League.
Yeah. Yeah, National League. That was fun. Love that. Nothing's better than, what was that, in 2011 when like three teams got knocked out in the last day.
Was that great?
That was exciting.
Was nothing better than that, than watching the Red Sox get knocked out on the last day, John? You know what? I submit to you, John, that there are better things than that.
I'll never forget that day. I was in Seattle at a bar watching those games. I dragged Karen I said, we have to watch. It's the last day of the season. And we were at a Fox Sports bar or something like that. And like in 30 minutes, you know, two teams got knocked out. And it was, there was a guy from Boston had his head on the bar.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
No, I know.
I know the feeling. Yeah, maybe it was you.
It was me.
Well, that wraps up the baseball portion of our podcast. Let's take a look at extra innings and what's going on outside the world of baseball. Big retirement for Pats fans, not just Pats fans, but the NFL. The greatest tight end in the history of the NFL calls it quits after only 9 seasons.
Great news for all of the parties and the alcohol
right
in the United States.
I have to think he's going to be an actor.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's going to be his route. He's going to be an action.
An action actor. I could see that.
Yeah, I definitely think that's in his future.
Okay.
He's a great guy, man. He's just the life of the party.
He's personality plus, man.
Yeah, over the top.
You can get away with a lot with that kind of charisma.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we expected this last year.
Yeah.
So he got a freebie out of him, and he gets another Super Bowl win.
Yeah, just an extra Super Bowl, you know.
Just like he needed it.
Yeah.
So he has like
so many other teams out there.
Yards per completion is like the highest, 9.9 yards per completion. It's like the highest in like 30 years.
I'm surprised for Gronk it's not 6.9 yards per completion.
Now it will be moving forward. So the other big news in the NFL was after a very quick 2 days of meetings, the coaches voted 32-0 in favor of changing the rules for review so that pass interference could be reviewed, and then the owners went with it too.
Yeah.
Like, boom.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, my first instinct is like, yes, that makes sense. And then my second instinct is, oh, boy. Oh boy, these games are going to start to slow down. Oh, how many are they going to do?
I never saw what the end game was, but I know that John Gruden was the lone dissenter, but went with it. And his thing was like, I understand why we need to do this because of what happened in a game like that. He said, I just don't think it should be a coach's call. He said, I think we should have an official up in the booth who buzzes down to the field and said, oops, you blew one, guys. I like that idea.
Yeah,
I
don't know what if they just paid like an extra, $50,000 a year to a guy in a league that makes tens of billions a year. Stadium, and remember, it's not 32 stadiums. Yeah, it's just 16 stadiums per week.
Right.
And there's just a guy who looks at the play and goes, actually, that was pass interference or that wasn't pass interference.
Right. That would make sense to me. And then he rings down.
Now, are they going to say you can only challenge if it's called?
I don't know.
They can't just say, I challenge that there was pass interference on there, or does it count as a challenge flag?
It has to be, though, because that would have been a no call last year because nothing was
fair
called.
Fair enough. So it has to be that. Yeah. Okay, good. That answers that question. Boy, talk about one incident, like changing the game. Like, woof. I mean, I feel bad for, for a team that happens to, because it hasn't really happened to me as a sports fan, but yeesh.
So, more Pats news.
Let's do it.
Robert Kraft, right? Robert?
Yes. Bobby. Bobby, as he gets called at the massage parlor.
You didn't do the accent. I'm glad you didn't.
Oh, okay.
but first he apologizes.
Yeah.
And then he says he's not guilty.
Well, there's a difference between apologizing and being not guilty, as we'll discuss with Jussie Smollett. But the fact is, like, the guy went in there and needed to get some tension relieved. And it just so happened that the primary muscle that had the most tension in it happened to be his junk.
Right. It happens.
It's not his fault. It's all about acupressure and chakras. And sometimes you got to let your chakras go.
Right. Sometimes you just got to really hand it to him.
Yeah.
Right. So he...
And sometimes you got to go back the next day just to finish it up a little bit.
It's kind of like therapy.
Yeah. No matter what, though, I think this will all be a happy ending for Robert Brown.
We'll see. Jury trial, though, huh?
Yeah.
That should be fun. Yeah. Can't wait to see the sketch artist work on
that. I can't wait to see the Zapruder film he brings in.
Proof. I have proof.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
So let's get to Jussie. I know you've been waiting for this.
Big news. They dropped the charges. Basically, they did like a plea deal, right?
But what? All I heard was that that they were dropped, and the judge said that she thought he was lying, or somebody said that he thought. So why were they dropped?
Basically, everyone is saying involved in the Chicago police and in the prosecutor's office is saying that they think he's guilty. They think he did this thing. I mean, here's the thing about it. Like, it's a crazy story, right? A hoax crime, a hoax hate crime that he set up, blah, blah, blah.
Premeditated.
Premeditated with his friends. And he still maintains, by the way, that those two men, like literally African-American men, committed a hate crime against him, even though he had called them before and afterwards. And he didn't tell them that it was his friends. Anyway, fine, whatever. That's cool. These things happen. It's not actually that big a deal, though, right? Like, this is about PR for the city of Chicago. This is about cops being pissed off or having their time wasted. Now, look, I'm all for this guy getting all kinds of fines and whatever, and everyone, him being a punchline for the rest of his life. I'm all for that. But what's this guy going to do? Go to jail because he staged this thing? Like, that's not... You don't send someone to jail for that. Frankly, I think half the people in jail should be let out, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and I think the embarrassment of this and the damage to his career are significant.
The only weird thing is that the plea deal did not involve him apologizing. He had to forfeit his bond. But not only has he not apologized, he's now going around telling everyone that, look, see, I'm right. I was innocent. I was the victim of a hate crime. Jeez. I'm thinking of suing. Like, it is so crazy. Like, I thought it couldn't get crazier.
Just shut up and go away.
Yeah, like, just do like, hey, you know what? My bad. He did community service. And people were like, oh, no, maybe he did it before. Like, no, he specifically did community service, which consisted of, by the way, 2 days of helping out at some Democrat, you know, whatever thing. Okay, great. That's
Country
not really
Club?
Community service. Yeah, like, basically, like... He made sure that the couch worked fine. He took a nap on it. It is absolutely amazing. And I don't want to blame Trump because I don't like it putting it. But it's like the environment that we're in media-wise, like, is just so crazy. And it's not his fault. It's everyone's fault. Like, the media is like going crazy about everything. And like the whole, like, we talk about the Mueller report. Like, okay, so good news, all of America. The president was not involved in a conspiracy to collude with the Russians.
Ultimately, that's good news. Even if you hate Trump, it's good to know.
Even if you were hoping that they would get him out of office, like, it's great news that the Russians weren't able to do that with us. Like, good, celebrate, and find something else to complain about.
But Trump is going to take this to his grave and want to destroy everybody that was against him.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I've had a few little sort of injustices in my life, and I would absolutely gloat and spike the football and do victory laps. He has every right to. He's been accused of being a traitor to the United States of America for 2.5 years.
Yeah,
I think he gets a little leeway with the gloating.
Yeah, the celebrating. I think he could celebrate it and do that, but now he wants to go after people.
Well, you know, it's not. He's not going to go after
anybody.
But he just says stuff. The thing is, you have to know about Trump is that he just says stuff. Now, should the President of the United States just say stuff? I don't know. Politicians have been lying forever. But he does have a certain
way
of, like, I don't want to say elevating because that's the wrong direction.
He brings it down.
It's still the same lying and the emptiness and the empty whatever, but it's like, it just feels like it's on a more
crass. Playground. It's playground stuff.
Yeah, but I will say that all of this stuff with the media trying to gang up on him and breathlessly reporting things that are false for 2.5 years about this, it's going to get him reelected, and then we're stuck with him for another... and then we have him for... And I don't want to cast aspersions to people who are fans of his work.
Thank God I'm not there.
I'm just saying that there are people... And, like, look, hey, I understand Republican, Democrat, you know, and you got to take sides and whatever, and each side has good merits and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's basically good. But this is just bad for people who want him to no longer be in office. Like, that's the problem, is you try so hard to get him out. And you try too hard and it just kind of backfiring, and he's going to wind up coasting to a victory.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm just saying, this is how you make sure that he gets reelected.
He's going to do something dumb.
What more could he possibly do, John?
There's 2 more years of him doing dumb stuff.
John,
so.
It doesn't matter. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, doesn't matter. And the fact is, the economy is booming, Jack. Now, granted, the federal deficit is
out of
like
control.
Now. The federal deficit is going crazy balls. But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Trickle down economics.
Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
Voodoo economics.
Bueller? Or is it Mueller? Or is it Mueller? I don't know.
Mueller. I like Mueller. Mueller. That works for me. So the Beebster is in the news again.
Yes.
Apparently he's taken a hiatus, and he's been trolled, I guess.
Should get a Peace Prize just for that. But
well, he was apparently on edge and nervous breakdown.
Too much cocaine. It happens.
Yeah, and he needed to get his stuff together and focus on his relationship with his wife and all those things that sound good.
Yeah.
But then somebody decided to attack him, a troll.
Yeah, someone was trolling him on Instagram about, like, that he'd only married Haley Baldwin to get back at Selena Gomez.
And the Beebster went crazy.
And he's like, you know, he's like, why would I just dedicate my life to a woman, blah, 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 just to get back at someone? And first of all, couldn't they both be right? Like, maybe he is doing it just to get back. Why not? Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, hey, what isn't that what you do when you break up with someone? You go on to someone else. And what? At least 25% of it is to get back at the other person.
Right. Say, look
at least 25%. Yeah. Like, take a look. Look what you're missing out on.
Right. This could have been you.
This could have been you, but it's Haley Baldwin instead. Whoopsie. Too bad for you.
So, I didn't see any of this. I don't follow it, but I know that you kind of scan the headlines and
I do. I do. I follow this stuff a little bit. Yeah.
So did he go batshit crazy or?
No, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like he destroys, but really it just means he replied to him.
He replied to it.
Like Stephen Colbert destroys Donald Trump in a scathing monologue. Like, yeah, he just kind of made some jokes about Donald Trump.
A few jokes, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun. So what's coming up next?
Get locked into a team-friendly, guaranteed long-term contract on The Extension Show.